We're moving on with our series of Jesus is Greater Than. This series is taking us through the whole of the Bible, seeing and looking at the lives of some of the great Bible characters, and we're seeing each week how Jesus is greater than all of these people. And when I looked in Matthew, said, well, I'd like you to speak on May the 9th. May the 9th, we're on there. Your subject is Abraham. Well, my immediate thought was, well, to be honest, they don't come much greater than that. Abraham, we call him Abraham because when we start reading his story in the Word of God, he's called Abram. And later on, God changes his name. Down in chapter 17 of Genesis, that we find Abraham's name being changed to Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham, forgive me for that, all the way through, because it's far easier for me to remember that. Abram means exalted father. And when his name was changed to Abraham, that meant father of many nations. And the very first time Abraham was called a Hebrew, a Jew, was there in chapter 14 of the great book of Genesis. Abraham, when you think of it, is a key figure in three of the world's great religions. Abraham was a Jew, father of all Jews. So in Judaism, of course, Abraham is the hero of their faith. He's one of their great founding figures. And the story of the history of the Jewish people goes back to something like 2,000 years before Christ. Now that takes us into the age in which you've probably learned in your history books, we sometimes call the Bronze Age. And remarkably then, 2,000 years before Christ, God promised a nomad leader that he would be the father of a great people, if he did as God had told him to. And Jews regard Abraham as their very first and greatest patriarch. Jewish people can trace their genealogy, trace their history back to this great man of the Bible. And Abraham was one of the first people in the whole of the Bible we see as teaching the idea that there is only one God. He lived in a culture which believed in multitude of gods. But remarkably, this man stood up and was different from all those around him. Ironically, his father, a man called Terah, made his living, the Bible actually tells us this, by selling various idols of these multitude of gods which all the people believed in at that time. In the Muslim faith, Abraham figures very highly. They don't call him Abraham, they call him Ibrahim. And he's one of their great prophets in the Muslim faith. They regard him as one of their important prophets. If you read the Quran, I'm not suggesting you do that for 1 minute, but you will read Ibrahim about him and the fact that, according to the Quran, it was his son Ishmael that was sacrificed there on the mountainside. And all Arabs in the world will say that Ishmael, Ibrahim's son, was the father of all Arabic people. It's remarkable when you consider that, when you consider the promise that God made to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But we're here this morning to know the truth. And we find the truth in the Word of God. So I invite you to turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 12. In the Bible in front of you, if you'd like to follow, and I think I would like you to follow if you don't mind, it's on page 13. The early part of our Bible, and we read here this quite remarkable story. And I use that word carefully. It is a remarkable story that God spoke to this one man who lived in a time when people hadn't heard the voice of God, they didn't know God, they worshipped idols, yet this one man stopped and listened. Certainly was a great man. And as you read through the narrative seems, I think, quite straightforward enough as we read it. But when we stop and examine and stop and think, as I want to do this morning, what we read, I think, is really quite astonishing. Let's put the story into context that may help you. Sometime before in the chapters which precede this, God had been sad that he's made the world. And in the time of Noah, he has flooded the world and wiped out the population of the world, apart from Noah and his family. Noah, the sole survivor and sole worshipper of Jehovah in his time too. Noah obeyed God, and when he was preserved, along with his family, his sons. But it wasn't long after that, as man's tendency always is, to turn away from God and to walk in the path of wickedness. And that was man's tendency, and that's what happened after the days of Noah. And it wasn't long again before things again began to get out of control. The population at this time, and you read the chapters prior to chapter 12, was speaking one common language. And the population, part of the population, had centered its civilization on a small fertile plain called Shinar. And the people there decided to build this great tower to try and reach God by their own efforts, by their own strength. God responded to that. He responded by confusing the languages of the people. And they began to disperse far and wide to different regions. And as we follow the genealogy of Shem, one of Noah's sons, we find along the family line, generations down the line, this man, Abraham, this great man that God called out. So why is this significant? Because it's out of this background, a background of wickedness, that God called this one man, Abraham, to follow him. It's remarkable that God called this man who lived in a pagan culture to hear his voice and to respond to his voice and to go out and do exactly what God had told him to. So here's Abraham, hearing God's voice, being presented with God's vision for his life, and he steps out in faith. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At this time the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then the passage goes on, but I think we leave it there. The Bible makes it very clear, and it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who comes to him and wants to believe in him must believe that he is a God, and must believe that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. That's exactly what we find Abraham doing here in these early chapters of our Bible. A man, I guess, prior to God's calling, had never heard of the word Jehovah spoken, much less worshipped him, who chose to believe that there was a true God in heaven, and more than that, he chose to obey him, and he chose to follow him. Abraham believed that there was one true God, and he chose, when God spoke to him, to respond in faith, to step out in faith. When Abraham left, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what would happen to him. But in some remarkable way, he chose to trust God and to take hold of the promise, the vision that God had for this man's life. And in many ways, that incident, what happened in Abraham's life, is paralleled in the lives of many of us as we go through that process of finding God for ourselves. God speaks to us. God challenges our hearts. and we respond in faith. We step out in the faith, in faith on that walk along the Christian path. We say, give our life over to Him. We need that faith, and we need to put our trust and our hope in God alone. So he stepped out in faith. God called him originally from the land of Ur, and as we read at the beginning of chapter 12, from the land of Haran into the land of Canaan. And all the way through his journey, God gave him encouragement. Finally, as we just read, they came to this place in Canaan called Shechem. And Abraham was given by God this vision for his life. This is the plan. This is the purpose of your life. And those of us who have put our own faith and our trust in Him find that to be true in each and every one of our lives. Just as God had a vision, a plan for the life of Abraham, so too every one of us. As individuals, without doubt, God has a purpose. God has a plan for every single one of us. And we need to know that. And we need to trust Him to see that plan taking shape. Abraham's vision was this: I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing to others. That's come true, hasn't it? Because of Abraham and his descendants, of course, came the Lord Jesus. From the Lord Jesus, salvation has come to the world. And we've all received a blessing. We have been blessed through this great man of the Bible, Abraham. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Fantastic promise. I wonder what Abraham felt when he heard the words of God, however God spoke to him these great words. An amazing vision. Through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. You know, do you respond to that? What do you say to that? What would I say to that? I really don't know. But our vision sustains Abraham all the way through his life. As they travel these hundreds, maybe thousands of miles through the desert and through the wilderness, they find their way to Canaan, this land which God has set aside for his own people. And having established camp there by this oak tree in Moreh, God promises makes another promise to Abraham. And he says, to your offspring I will give this land. You know, still, the people of God live in that land. Nowadays, of course, we call it the land of Israel. But still, people are arguing, still people are fighting over that land. But God says, here, to Abraham, the land will be yours. I've set it aside for you and your offspring. Interesting how Abraham responded here. He built an altar. Because wherever he went, he built altars to God. What are altars for? Well, altars in those early days were a place where people could come and worship God. Fascinating, that. So wherever he goes, he builds an altar. He wants to worship God all the way through his life. Bear in mind, Abraham has taken significant steps of faith toward God. But Abraham isn't the finished product here. He still makes mistakes in his life. But despite this, he decides at this place he is going to give God worth. He's going to recognize the worth of God. And he does that, of course, through worship. But in the verses that follow, in chapter 12, it says this: from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel. And I'll stop there because this afternoon I'm going to be speaking of Bethel. Not Abraham's country, of course, but Bethel up in Hebron. So if anyone wants to come, you're very welcome. If you can't come, that's fine. But please remember us in your prayers. But he went onto the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And then again, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. He's happy again. His vision, God's promises are pushing him on. And he's doing what God does. And whenever he reaches his next destination, there he is, building another altar, a time again to worship the Lord. And as we look at Abraham's story, as the story in the Bible unfolds, this pattern begins to emerge. First we see how faith led to a vision. Without faith, that original faith, we can't appreciate God's purpose, God's vision for our life. And then, of course, we see Abraham's pattern for worship. What a great model for all of our life, there, isn't that? To understand faith, to put our faith and trust in Him, appreciate God's purposes for our life. And as we allow those purposes to lead us on, to stop whenever we can and worship God, to acknowledge His greatness, to acknowledge His leading. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. In the verses that follow, we find Abraham making mistakes. And again, that encourages me. He didn't get it all right. But never once did God give up on this man. Because he knew he had a purpose. He knew he had a vision. And he was going to see it through. Abraham trusted in his own strength and went down to Egypt. Got into all sorts of trouble there. An argument set out over water rights with his nephew Lot. And it's interesting there that Abraham's faith and his vision supported him, because he let Lot choose which way he should go. He stepped aside and gave Lot the right one. And Lot, of course, we know, if you know the Bible story, chose badly and chose the fertile plain and ended up near those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God honored Abraham's decision. In chapter 13 we read these words. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, lift up the eyes from where you are and look to the north and the south and the east and the west. All of the land that you see I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the ground, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham moved his tent and went to live near the great trees of Mamre, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Tremendous. Hardly any chapters in the Bible describe faith so marvelously as they do in these chapters. Here was a patriarch, a genuine believer in God, a worshipper of God, whose faith functioned all the way through his life. Remarkably, he was called later in the Bible the friend of God. What a great tribute to this great man of the Bible, Abraham. But he didn't find the way easy, and the way isn't easy for any of us. Following God was a struggle. Did Abraham struggle sometimes to believe God? Well, yes, of course he did. But did he ultimately place his trust and hope in God? Absolutely. So you can see he's a great Bible character. There are very few in our Bible greater than him. But turn with me again, please, to John chapter 8. Let's go to our New Testament. John chapter 8, page 1074 in your church Bible. Page 1074, John chapter 8. Jesus here now is discussing, as he did throughout his earthly life, with those who were trying to trip him up, speaking to the religious leaders, speaking to the Jewish people. Verse 48, let's pick it up there. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, Jesus said, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophet. Who do you think you are? And Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep my word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Tremendous words from our Bible, which Jesus begins to explain himself. how he was much greater person than this great man of the Bible, Abraham. Christ clearly claims here deity. He claims to be God himself. He identifies himself in this conversation with those Jewish people with the God of the Old Testament. At one time in the life of Moses, God spoke to Moses and he said, I am Yahweh. I am who I am. And I am was the God of the Old Testament. And here we find Jesus in the New Testament saying these words, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is greater than Abraham, beyond dispute. Abraham was a great man. He was called in 2 Chronicles the friend of God. His faith is laid before us. I've tried to explain it this evening. He's commended there in the great Heroes of the Faith chapter, Hebrews 11. His faith is laid there for all to see. Abraham, though, was a man. What Jesus is saying here is, I am the I am. I am God. So just as Abraham himself heard the voice of God and left his father's home, went out in faith, so too the Lord Jesus. He was God. And yet, at the appointed time, when the Father knew the time was right, Jesus too left his home, stepped out of glory, stepped away from his Father's home, left his Father's home, left the glory of heaven, and he stepped into our time. He stepped into our world. He stepped into our history. And by doing so, he steps into our lives. And he steps into our world to make our salvation possible. When he came, he lived amongst us. He taught people. And he said to those Jews, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. Abraham could look forward. And I believe Abraham saw, through God's help, the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus. What possible response can we have to our Savior except to put our faith and our trust in him? The one who left his father's home, the one who laid aside his majesty, gave up everything so that he could come here and to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We need to follow the example of Abraham and to reach out in trust and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, accept his offer of salvation made for us there at Calvary 2,000 years after the time of Abraham. And here we are 2,000 years later, reflecting on that, I hope believing, trusting that just as God had a plan for that great man Abraham's life, and Abraham accepted his faith and went out and held on to that vision, for every one of us, the youngest to the oldest, the children down in Discovery, God has a plan. God has a vision. God has a purpose for our lives. Would you be a bit like Abraham? To look at God and respond to God. For us, we look to the Lord Jesus. Accept his offer of salvation. Put our faith and trust in him. Take that vision. Understand what God's purpose is for our lives. And when we step out in faith, that vision, that purpose can take us forward. And we can live for him. And I hope, live just as Abraham did. And each step along the way, thank God, worship God, and put our trust in him. Abraham, great man. Jesus, far greater. Abraham was a man. Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time at family service. So we thank you for those children, those young lives down the corridor. And so, Father, we thank you that you have a plan, a purpose for their young life. Father, we thank you for reminding us this morning that you have a plan, a purpose for each of our lives. And that purpose begins to be real to us as we take that step and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Lord, draw us to you, we pray. Open our eyes and let us realize that when you stepped into our world, you were God. You laid aside your majesty, and you gave yourself for us. You became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Father, challenge our hearts, and may we respond to that with love. Father, those of us who belong to you, those of us who have made that step, we pray that you will continue to bless us. Keep us close to you. Reveal your purposes to us. Father, we go. We pray now that you'll go with us. Watch over us. We commend ourselves and those who live into your care. And we do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for coming. Don't forget this evening, Matt speaking at 6 o'clock in our worship service. It'll be good to see you. And good for you to have a chance to speak to this remarkable man, Pastor Chris Ayres.